Our next hearing this evening is case number 12283, Tower North Development LLC seeks an interpretation of the county code and variances from the maximum fence height for a proposed structure and from the maximum height for a proposed telecommunications tower, sections 115.23, 115.179 and 115.185, 115.194.2 and 115.227 of the Sussex County Zoning Code. The property is located on the west side of Sam Lucas Road, approximately 476 feet south of Cave Neck Road. The 911 address is 25759 Cave Neck Road, Milton. The zoning district is AR1, Agricultural Residential, and the tax parcel is District 235, Map 20, Parcel 54.00. Specifically, the applicant is requesting a variance of 45 feet from the maximum height requirement of 150 feet to allow a telecommunications monopole of 195 feet in height. The applicant is also requesting a variance of 1 foot from the required 7 foot fence height requirement. Staff would note that we've received zero letters of support, zero letters of opposition, and zero mail returns. Thank you.
And Mr. Whitehouse, just confirm, I think you said there's no fence height variance needed for the same reasons with the previous case. Is that correct?
In this particular case, it was noted at the board at the last meeting that a fence height of 7 feet would be required, but I believe it's 8 feet in this case. So
it's a seven, if I recall, it was a 7 foot tall fence. And then my understanding was that they've asked for both, but I was under the impression there had been discussion that it was not needed. Is that the case?
If it's 7 feet, it's no longer required and not needed. So,
okay, but if it was 8 feet, then you're saying it would be
correct.
Okay. Excuse me. I did speak with Ms. Cornwell on Friday, and specifically about this case, and she told me that what I pointed out to Ms. Cornwell was that the ordinance where it talks about height specifically excludes, here it's 115-185C, the last sentence. This height limit shall not apply to fences or walls used for commercial, industrial, or agricultural uses, screening, or tennis courts. Every such fence must be approved by the director. And Ms. Cornwell, when I spoke to her on Friday, said that she did approve the 8 foot fence. And she did tell me that she talked to the solicitor about that.
So on that basis, if it is to be approved by the director and you've had that discussion, then that's correct. The fence height variance is no longer required.
Yeah, I was under the impression we were just here for, I know it had been advertised the other way, but there had been discussions after it had been advertised we're only looking for the cell tower height variance. And board members, I know Mr. Williamson was not here previously. You had already granted the special use exception for the tower, but you may recall at that hearing, it was discovered the tower was proposed to be above the 150-foot height limitation, so there is a variance needed for the height. So that's what the applicant is here for tonight. So,
height only?
Yep, height only on the tower. So, very little narrower than the last one we just had. So, and I presume, Mr. Jordan, the same players who are involved in the last one would be testifying in this one?
We have one switch. There's one other witness, David Grigonis.
Okay. I'll have him come up, and I'll just recite for the record. It was Sean Paul, Christopher Lash, and Paul Chan had previously been sworn in. So if they are going to testify in this one, they've been sworn in for the record. Good evening. Can you state your name and address for the record?
David Grigonis, 3801 Berry Bridge Way, Southeast, Marietta, Georgia, 30067.
And do you swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Okay. Because we do have the special use exception for, a 150-foot tower at this site, we do want to just focus on the height. In the exhibit binder, exhibit A18 are the propagation maps. And I will have Mr. Paul come up and kind of walk you through those. Do you want us to also go through on the slides, or since you guys all have the books, does it matter one way or the other?
Whatever you prefer, I would think it.
We can just go through the books, I think, since you guys all have. So it's the last exhibit that Mr. Paul's going to go through, talk about why we need to go to, it's one, again, it's a 195-foot tower with a 6-foot lightning rod.
Yeah, so the, again, Sean Paul, the need for this proposed site, which is called, we're referring to as Dogfish Head, is twofold. Number one is for a capacity relief for an existing AT&T site, which on the map, which is titled Area of Interest, it is the site Milton West DE, this northwest, but more west than north. The sector that is facing towards the proposed location is approaching a point of exhaust where basically customers are being impacted in terms of being able to gain access to the network or, and or having a, what we refer to as reliable coverage, meaning whatever the expectations were set at point of sale, what the customer thinks they believes they should have in terms of the amount of throughput, and just ability to use the network. So that's number one. Number two, you know, it goes hand in hand. As a result of having a new site introduced into the network, you ultimately pick up incremental coverage in areas that you may not have had covered before, such as in a basement or within a home or within a commercial property. Proximity is very important as it relates to the cellular network. And so the proposed site with the height that's been presented is considered as the minimum height required to be able to provide the offload of capacity to the adjacent tower, Milton West DE. Ultimately, right now, that existing tower's coverage footprint is what's commonly referred to as overextended, which may not necessarily reference the distance, but it could. It could also reference just the overall utilization on that given sector. So that is the area of interest map. The other existing sites are shown there, which is basically Milton DE, which is northeast, and there's also an ATC tower that is in the upper right-hand corner, which would be northeast as well from the proposed location. So if you would like to turn to the next page, please. I did provide testimony last month regarding this slide, which is titled AT&T Existing Best Server Coverage. So this coverage map is produced by a propagation tool, industry standard. It takes into consideration the terrain, the clutter types, and basically provides a coverage map as to where the each existing site's coverage footprint is. Most cellular sites are configured with three sectors, and by having three sectors, it allows the traffic to be distributed equally amongst those three sectors, and also provides the radio frequency engineer with some flexibility to be able to modify a particular direction of coverage without adversely impacting other areas. So it provides some control for covering certain areas. And so on this map here, again, the AT&T existing best server coverage, you'll see varying colors of coverage. Those different colors represent the best serving footprint for each one of the respective sites that are on air today without the proposed Dogfish Head. So again, the site that is primarily being targeted to provide offload is the Milton West DE, which that sector's footprint is a pink color on your map. And so if you turn to the next page, which is titled AT&T Proposed Best Server Coverage, you can see with the proposed site, it provides the offload that's necessary for the targeted sector. And just to be clear, it's not the sector that's targeted is Milton West DE. However, just based upon the characteristics of the user profile and the usage, sites as the surrounding sites will eventually at some point reach potentially a point of exhaust as well if the user demand continues to increase. So having a proposed facility at the proposed height located where it is will provide the relief that's necessary for the area. It will create a dominant server, meaning that customers in the immediate footprint of the Dogfish Head site will have a dominant server versus, I'll say ping-ponging, if you will, between two sites that have a lower desired coverage level. So it creates very much a dominant server, distributes the existing traffic across the three sectors of the proposed facility, and again, like I said, the proposed height was determined based upon using a propagation tool that takes into consideration all of the items I mentioned. So the following slide, the next slide is the data trend for the Milton West northeasterly facing sector. So basically, I'll try to explain this as best as possible. So on the left-hand side, you'll see increments 0 to 80. That's reflective of the spectrum that AT&T has available. So one of the main limiting factors for AT&T and for really any other cellular carrier is their spectrum. Once they exhaust all of their spectrum in one area, then there's no way to provide any type of additional relief and alleviate the capacity needs. So that references the spectrums from 0 to 80, and then what you'll see there is three other data points. One is the sum of EU non-GBR, which is basically the current usage today on the Milton West beta sector, the sector that's facing towards the proposed location. And you also have the forecasted. So what AT&T is predicting the usage to look like. And what you'll note here is that essentially AT&T is using 30 megahertz on the existing facility, which is its max capacity for that sector and for that site. And the usage has already reached a point of break. I believe it was right around the end of last year. So this site and sector specifically are already in a point of exhaust, which means that during the busiest time of the day, whenever that may be, and it can vary, the subscribers that are being served by this existing site would be underserved, and ultimately not having adequate capacity on a site is the equivalency of not having coverage in many cases. So it can result in that in terms of you know, the actual service level and also the prioritization. Furthermore, as mentioned on the prior case, this proposed facility will be able to support the FirstNet technology that's used by the public safety community, and certainly the equipment that's proposed here would offer that ability if seen fit. So,
if I could interrupt on page 3 of the report at tab 7, you have the centerline heights of the other existing antennas. What's the centerline height of Milton West?
So the centerline height of Milton West is 191 feet.
And the fact that you're trying to offload from Milton West onto the proposed site, does that 191-foot height have anything to do with our need to mount our antennas at a certain height?
Yes, it does.
Can you explain that?
I sure can. So obviously, in most cases, the higher the antenna in terms of the site, the larger the footprint. In most cases, certainly, there's variables that need to be taken into consideration, such as the ground elevation and clutter, et cetera, and where the subscribers are or the customers are respective to their ground elevation. So it's not just the site's location and its ground elevation, it's also where the traffic's being generated from by the subscribers. So having a tower at 191 feet creates a fairly large footprint, and certainly in order to be able to divide that larger footprint by relief, it requires a site to be able to have a comparable footprint. And when I say comparable, I mean in terms of if the AT&T engineer were to down tilt the antenna or change the antenna, not maybe physical characteristics in terms of the antenna size, but modify the antenna, there has to be a site that's going to be able to provide adequate coverage in that area. And ultimately, as the AT&T performance engineers go through, after new sites are proposed and approved, they will go through and you know, modify the surrounding sites. And again, not to say physically, but just from software and whatnot, just to balance out the traffic and to basically bring a existing site into a better service, providing better service to the immediate close proximity customers. So long-winded as that may have been, the answer is yes, in terms of being able to provide the relief for the existing targeted sector, this is the height that's determined to be the minimum height to meet the full objective.
Okay. Do you want to, I interrupted you. You want to go through the right, no, that's fine.
Yeah, so the next page in line is, it's actually not titled, but.
Mr. Chairman, may I got a question about that area we were just talking about.
Okay.
A couple of questions, because before we move on, I just want to make sure I understand it. So what you're saying is there's a tower that's 191 feet tall, and that you're offloading from that tower onto this one. That's why your tower needs to be this tall.
Yes, so the targeted, again, there's...
Well, and I guess here's the other thing. The thing that I think we should keep in mind is that the variance can, our standards has to be something unique to the property.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and it has to meet strict compliance. If you can build it within the code, it's what you're supposed to do. So I want to kind of keep that in mind. So if it's going to offload from that one, is it such that it cannot offload if it's shorter than, if it meets the code?
To say it would not offload would not be an accurate statement. It would not be the most optimal configuration to provide the full offload or the relief necessary. So, which may result in potentially a need for an additional site or two, depending upon the circumstances.
And I guess this is where I'm going. And if that's the case, and say we've got a 191-foot tower, perhaps a little taller because I recognize it's the center line, and then this one's 190 feet tall, and it'll have a lightning rod at the top of it, I presume, so probably 196 feet tall. Is that right?
Actually, I was corrected. It's 194. It's a four-foot lightning rod because the antennas are different on this one.
Yeah. Very good. Glad we got that clarified.
Thank you.
Does that mean, though, that if this one ever needed to be offloaded, it's only going to be able to offload on something that tall?
No, not necessarily. So So just to be clear, and trying to keep this as as simple as possible, but certainly you folks have dealt with these many a times. So the height of the tower that's being targeted to be offloaded is just one of the components. The proposed facility, depending on its ground elevation, its proximity, distance from the targeted location, also the surrounding areas, the dwellings and the commercial properties, play a major factor in determining what height is required. For example, if the proposed location was, the ground elevation was maybe 100 feet higher than what it is today, I'm not necessarily sure that the proposed location would be as at a 190 foot center line. So those factors do play, those components do play a factor in the proposed facility. So it's not just the existing tower versus the proposed. The heights are similar.
It's maybe what's in between.
Exactly, and also where the sites reside in terms of their ground elevation, and again, as I mentioned earlier in my testimony, where the traffic in between is being generated from, and if there's any type of what's referred to as clutter, which again is residential structures, trees, etc., if those will become hindrances, because ultimately this is more or less a line of sight technology, and so to create that dominant server. And given the location that's being proposed, this was determined, and I'm given testimony that this is the minimum height required. Does it mean that by reducing it 3 feet, it won't cover anywhere? No, I mean there's going to be a reduction in coverage.
But if you were to build this one in compliance, that wouldn't meet your coverage needs, and you would have issues with what you're trying to do. Is that what I'm hearing?
That is exactly correct. And in fact, I believe since the last meeting, there was additional exhibits submitted. And so if I may, just turn your attention to those. Okay, so I've kind of lost reference on my page in the packet.
You were here.
Okay, I'm not sure what page that is. Anyways, if you turn to the AT&T existing in-building coverage.
Next to the last page of the last exhibit.
third to the last page. So the AT&T existing in-building coverage, that's the predicted coverage today for in-building with the existing sites on air. Now remember, the maps I showed just a few minutes ago, those were representative of the serving footprints for each of the existing sites to basically illustrate where the targeted sector is in terms of what the area covers. Now we're looking exclusively at just coverage, regardless of who the server is. This slide or this map would show the AT&T existing in-building coverage. And you can see the sites I mentioned earlier represented there, as well as our proposed location. And if you turn to the next page, this is the AT&T proposed in-building coverage. So again, existing sites plus the proposed facility. And where I believe this will answer Mr. Sharp's question is if you compare the proposed in-building coverage to the last page in the handout, we did run a coverage plot to basically show what 145-foot antenna center line would look like. And so if you just page back and forth between those last two pages, again, both of those are assuming the proposed sites on air with the existing sites on air, which is composite coverage. The only difference is the antenna mounting height. So it does demonstrate the areas that would not be covered if we were to drop to a point where we would conform with the requirements of the special exception. And it basically would, without any uncertainty, not provide the offload that's necessary for the site, thereby requiring maybe several additional sites, if they're even feasible in terms of having willing landlords, having a location to even build a tower. So the ultimate goal is to minimize or greatly reduce or eliminate the need to come back before you for this area in the future. And so by having the proposed location with the proposed height, it is going to provide the not only necessary immediate relief, but also improve the in-building coverage in and around the surrounding areas by creating that dominant server.
Just so we're clear, myself and the board, the last slide showing the in-building coverage at 145 feet, would this level of coverage be considered acceptable in the marketplace?
It would not be considered acceptable in terms of reliable in-building coverage. So there would still be areas, pockets, if you will, to the north and also to the east and also to the, also to the south. So basically in and around the surrounding area, that would not be covered at an optimal level. Is there still incremental coverage? Yes. I mean, there's a proposed site at 145 feet is without a doubt going to provide some more coverage that doesn't exist today. However, it's not going to address the immediate need of the adjacent site, the Milton West site, which is at a point of exhaust. So the relief of capacity and congestion on the network would not be obtainable going with the center line of 145 feet.
So putting this map aside, the offloading is a different issue. So there's two issues being, if I'm summarizing correctly, let me know. Two issues being addressed by the 190-foot centerline antennas. One is the offloading, and the other is this coverage. And this coverage at 145 feet, besides the fact it wouldn't offload properly, also doesn't meet AT&T's criteria for in-building coverage, right?
That is correct. As I mentioned, there are areas shown on that map titled AT&T in-building coverage at 145 feet that would not be covered with that antenna height, that would be covered with the antenna center line being at 190 feet.
So the solution would be to try to look at putting up another tower somewhere in this photo?
To be able to achieve the objective?
Yeah, right.
Absolutely. It would not be achievable with only the proposed facility at 145 feet. So ultimately, the only other solution, if feasible, and again, I want to remind you, you need to find a landlord that's interested in having a tower erected on their property, or maybe two, and it's really all dependent in terms of the location to be able to distribute that traffic accordingly. So, but yeah, it would require additional, potentially additional sites, not maybe just a site. So,
The hardship, if you will, or the exceptional practical difficulty that we're talking about here, it's particular to the site in the sense that we have to, in order to put up a tower that interacts with the rest of our network, we're limited in the location where we could put that tower, and then we have to find a willing landlord, and then the topography of that site, and he used the word earlier, clutter, so any clutter that impedes the line of sight between this tower, the proposed tower, and Milton West would, are all things that are particular to this particular site that warrants the variance, correct?
That is correct. There are many variables that factor into determining the proposed height, and certainly Mr. Jordan had touched upon several of those as well as myself, so.
I guess, do you have anything else to say about this?
I do not.
Does the board have any questions?
I got a couple questions.
Sure.
Now, the old tower, it's coming down or it's staying?
No. So the old tower, if we're referring to the Milton West DE site, that site will absolutely be staying.
Okay.
On the air. It's currently at a point of exhaust in terms of its capacity.
Okay. Yep. So you can put the next one. How far away from that are you going with the other one?
2 miles.
2 miles?
Yeah, two miles, yeah.
Okay, and the center line you were talking about, the center line of the old one is 145?
No, so the targeted site to be offloaded, which is the Milton West DE site, is 191.
191, okay.
Correct, 191 feet for the center line.
Okay, and I picked up a little bit while you're saying it. Why? We already approved the other one. Well, why are you going with a 4-foot lightning rod and you went with a 6-foot on the other one?
On the other installation, the antennas actually peaked up about 4 feet above the top of the tower.
Okay.
So the lightning rod itself has to be, 4 feet above the everything.
The different design.
Different design, okay. I mean, I don't know why you didn't drop it down to a 4 foot and you made a difference in the height of it.
Or
you
dropped it would be too close to the antennas at 4 feet.
Okay. Something we got to look at next time.
Then lightning would strike the antennas and then you wouldn't have any service.
Yeah. But it's something we just got to look at next time, though.
Yep. Sure. By the way, Ms. McGee, when you mentioned wanting the exhibit binders earlier, when do you guys get your packets? Like how long before the hearing do you guys?
Well, we get them a meeting. We get our packets the meeting before. But if you got them to the staff a week before, they could get them to us, I believe.
Okay, thank you.
At least a week. Okay.
So the this is going to be 109 foot, 195 foot with a ground rod, right? Mm-hmm. That's what you're asking for.
Correct.
Right.
I have a question, I guess, for Jamie.
It's 195 foot tower with a 4 foot rod, so it's 190.
Sir, you need to step up to the mic if you're going to. We can't take it from the audience, so you need to step up if you're going to speak.
Yeah, it's 195 foot monopole with a 4 foot lightning rod. So total height of 199.
199. Okay.
So I have one question, I guess, for Jamie. If we have 150 foot height limit, then it had to be approved for Milton West, Delaware, 191.
Not necessarily. It could be within the city, the town of Milton.
Okay.
They may have different height requirements than the county has.
Okay.
And depending upon when it was constructed, the height limitations may not have been as rigid. And perhaps Mr. Jordan could answer us as to where that one is located, if it's in the town limits or not.
Yeah.
Or if there was a variant, it may have been a variance grant.
The address is 15170 Gravel Hill Road. But when I first started doing this, Sussex County, you could build up to 300 feet without coming to the zoning board. You can just get a building permit to put up a 300-foot tower. I mean, that's like 20-some years ago.
Yeah, there was a pretty significant rewrite of the code, probably early 2000s, late 90s, if I recall.
Mm-hmm.
And And my recollection is that the height limitation also came into effect around that time.
Big thing.
So, you know, that's why, you know, I noticed that one, the Milton West one, is a lattice-type structure, and I don't know that they, perhaps, Mr. Paul, you can answer this. I think you guys typically prefer monopoles now as opposed to lattice structures.
More often, monopoles are being used simply because the height does not exceed. Again, keep in mind that the Milton West site is AT&T center lines at 191, so I would imagine potentially the tower itself as a structure is taller than that. So with the sites that are being proposed more often these days, the monopole seems to be the best fit simply because of the fact that the antennas are not as high. It doesn't require the use of that type of lattice structure. I'm not a structural engineer, so I cannot say that's my testimony. That's been my perception. So, yes.
So this is going to be the highest tower you have at 199 in this area?
In terms of the AT&T's center line in this area, it would be the second tallest in terms of center line, only second to the Milton West.
Milton West, yes.
Correct.
And that could be because of the population or the usage of the phones.
That is correct. That is correct.
And stuff of the buildings around it and everything else.
Absolutely. And to be able to, I'll say, get over the clutter and be able to, and this is going to be very lame in terms, so forgive me, but to shoot the energy down to the users, it allows for that opportunity to be able to really provide the offload. Again, you're taking one site that's being proposed with three sectors and inserting it directly into the footprint of an existing site, so it's going to provide that dominant server as well as the relief. If there was just one antenna for the proposed facility, that necessarily would not accomplish the objective per se, because of the fact that then that proposed facility may become overloaded as well. So the goal is to minimize the amount of sites that are necessary in an area, but also more importantly than that is to ensure that the network is operating as customers expect, while also building in the future technologies, the first net capabilities, etc. So, yeah.
Okay. Any other? Okay, hearing no further questions. Hearing that no further questions, are there any persons here that are in favor of this application? 1, 2, 3?
4, 5.
Anyone? 6. I'm sorry, I didn't see. Sorry. Anyone here in opposition to this application? Chair, hearing none, I'll entertain a motion.
I guess he's just going to sit down.
Should I put your name down?
Yeah, I make a motion that we approve. I can't even find all my papers now. Case number 12,283 for a proposed monopole at a height of 199 feet. Correct?
Yep. Correct.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Do I have a second that?
Second.
Okay, I have a motion by Ms. McGee and a second by Mr. Wharton that we approve case number 12,283. All those in favor of the motion? Mr. Thompson?
Aye, for the reasons stated.
Mr. Wharton?
Aye, for those reasons stated.
Ms. McGee?
Aye, for my reasons.
And I, Mr. Calloway. So by a vote of 4-0, case number 12,283 is approved.
Thank you very much.
I have one thing to say, and I'm not sure if you need to do that, but where the Ag Preservation Foundation approved it, if you're making it higher, you may just want to let them know and get their approval.
Yeah, I did. They told me I can hand up an email. They sent me an email. They said as long as we don't change the footprint of anything.
Just so
if not, then you'd have to let
Scott
know.
I didn't want you to have an issue later.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah, no. Right, yeah, that's got no...
And I'll get those binders to you, you know, in advance.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
If there's nothing else before the board, vote for adjournment.
So move.
Have a motion?
Sure.
Have a second? All those in favor of the motion?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Meeting is adjourned, subject to call.